All right, today we're going to be concluding our series on comfort. What an awesome series this has been. It's been really good for myself. I know it's been good for Angela. She hears some of the sermon when we're coming to church on Sunday mornings and some of it on Saturdays. I test it with her to see if there's anything that connects, you know. If she doesn't connect with it, I'm like, well, what am I going to say it on Sunday for, you know? It's important for us to know that God is the God of all comfort. Amen. And He loves us and He cares about us. It's also important to know that He's a fierce and mighty lion. Amen. So today as we conclude this series, I want to just mention to you where I sense God is leading us for next year. 2022 is going to be a year about spiritual growth and maturity. Some of you have been in church a lot, and maybe you've grown up in church, and maybe you went away from church for a while, and now you're back, and you'd really like to grow connected and grow stronger in your relationship with God. And that's where I sense God is wanting us to go as a church family, spiritual maturity. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. This year we began the year with oaks in favor, God making us as strong as mighty oaks, planted by the water with His favor. And boy, we made it another year. So here we are, the last Sunday of 2021. Aren't you glad we're putting this one behind us? All right, so today we're going to end with this series, and we're going to end the year with this. I want to talk with you about comfort in sacrifices. There's comfort in sacrifices. There's comfort when you know that you've made the right sacrifices in life. You know, the order of our world as God made it to be, there's a principle of sacrifice that's there. And understanding that this is what our world is about from God's perspective. It's the concept if I delay gratification today, I could have better tomorrow. If I make a sacrifice today, I could have better tomorrow. If I sacrifice something, I could look forward to a better future. If I invest today, instead of just blowing it, if I invest today, then I could be provided for tomorrow. If I don't eat everything today, then I will have leftovers for the next week, right? This principle is the reason we have the world that we have where suffering is involved. This principle is where suffering is involved in our world and why God allows suffering in our world. It's this principle of delayed gratification. It's this principle of I'm going to make a sacrifice today knowing that I have hope for something better to come. And when people say, well, I don't believe in a God that allows this or that doesn't take care of this or fix this, a God that doesn't deal with starvation. Well, we've got to understand that this is the principle at play. God puts us here as His imagers to deal with these things and to fix these things, and in many cases, make sacrifices ourselves so that others can have, but also knowing that our future is there. This principle answers so many questions in our lives. It's the principle of sacrifice. Making sacrifices, believing something better is to come. Now, here's what you need to know about this life. The sacrifices you make today bring either comfort or fear. You say, well, how could making a sacrifice bring fear into my life? How is that possible? Doesn't a sacrifice always mean that there's a better tomorrow? Well, it depends on what you sacrifice. If you sacrifice the wrong things, no, it's going to bring fear to you for tomorrow. Here's how you can make the wrong sacrifice. If you sacrifice your future, you've made the wrong sacrifice. You're only going to have today. If you do something today that burns away your future, you don't have comfort in your life. In fact, you start feeling uncomfortable about your future. Any of you ever heard the story of Henry Ruggs? He was a college all-star football player at the University of Alabama, one of the top draft picks in the NFL, and he invested in a beautiful Corvette, had it all decked out, Alabama colors and stuff, and he was on the Las Vegas Raiders team. And he got drunk a few weeks ago, and he was driving down through Las Vegas. It was kind of like, if you look at the road that he was on, it was kind of like driving down El Dorado. He was doing 156 miles per hour at like 3 a.m. That's fast. And he was drunk. And he rear-ended a young lady. I think she was 21 years old, and she burned to death. He had all the future ahead of him, notwithstanding that young lady. But here he was, I think he was like 21 years old, 21 or 22 years old, in the NFL, one of the star players, one of the star picks, and he had millions of dollars already. Huge future ahead of him, and he just absolutely threw it away. He's going to spend decades in prison. If you do something today that burns away your future, what was he doing? He was making a sacrifice for a momentary pleasure of being able to be drunk and being able to drive fast. I love to drive fast, but I don't get to. Every time I do, what am I doing? I'm taking my future and putting it at risk. I'm sacrificing my future for something today. If you do something today that's going to damage your marriage potentially 5 years from now or down the road, you're not going to feel good about it. You're going to feel like, man, this is uncomfortable. I know that I've done this. This is a problem. What have you done? You've sacrificed your future for today. If you sacrifice a relationship by accusing them of something or by dealing or by having conversation with somebody else about them, we call that gossip in the church, right? What have you done? You've sacrificed that relationship for a momentary pleasure to make yourself feel better, to make yourself feel bigger, to make yourself feel like you're more spiritual than them sometimes as well by talking about them. So we sacrifice our future. We sacrifice our future relationships, our future health. We sacrifice our future finances, our relationships, our faith. There's a lot of things that we sacrifice the future today for a momentary pleasure, and we have to be careful with that. Making the right sacrifices in life is imperative to having comfort today. So here's the question. Are you sacrificing your future, or are you sacrificing the present as an investment for a good future? Your spiritual life, your health, your finances, every part of our lives, we can make sacrifices today in order to have a better future. Since the very beginning, God made it clear that making the right sacrifices is a way to please Him. And it's a necessary part in living in a relationship with Him. You all remember the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were the first two brothers, Adam and Eve's two sons. And it's the story, most people think of it as the story of the first murder. But this is not just the first murder story. This is the story of two brothers that made sacrifices, two men that made sacrifices. One made a wrong sacrifice and one made a right sacrifice. And what's interesting is Cain's decision to make a wrong sacrifice led to his immense anger, which led to murder, but it led him to a place in his life where he never enjoyed his life. He was sad, actually. Let me read some of the story here. Now, Abel kept flocks. This was Cain's brother, two brothers. Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. So two different kinds of jobs. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering of the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from the firstborn of the flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. So the Lord looked with favor on Abel. He said, "Whoa, Abel, that's wonderful. I like what you've brought to me. I like your offering today." But Cain and the offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now that's another way of saying he was really sad. He was really uncomfortable in life. He didn't feel the comfort that Abel felt. Can you imagine how Abel felt? God looked at what he gave him and said, "Oh, that's wonderful. I give you my favor today." Imagine how comfortable he was in that situation. But Cain looked and he was downcast. He was upset. He was very angry. Listen, they both made sacrifices. Abel's was favorable. Abel's was a true sacrifice. And we don't know really what the difference was because it doesn't go into detail here. But here's what we do know. We do know that God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice because it was a true sacrifice. And a true sacrifice is believing that honoring God today would be better, and trusting in a yield for tomorrow is what you need. Now, Cain's sacrifice, it consisted of what? Some of the fruits of the soil. That's what it consisted of. And it reads as though Cain was just haphazardly going through and picking up some fruits and vegetables and putting them in a barrel or a bucket or whatever. And he brought them to God and he said, "Here, accept it, God. Enjoy it. Hope you like it." Just haphazardly picked up some of his fruits, and he said, "Well, that's what God requires. Okay, I'll give him some of that." But Abel went through and he found the best. And he sacrificed and he brought the best from the firstborn of his flock to God. Now look at the results. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. And one person would say, "Well, Cain was only angry because God rejected what he gave him. If God would have just been grateful for what Cain gave him, then okay. You know, at least he did something. At least he tried. At least he showed up with something." And God said, "No. No, that's not going to cut it." The reality is God wasn't going to reward a bad sacrifice. Why? Because it wouldn't have been good for Cain. To do so wouldn't have been good for Cain. If God did reward Cain, Cain would not have had the opportunity to change. And God would have participated in Cain's demise in that way. And God is too loving and God is too kind to ever put his stamp of approval on a bad sacrifice. God spoke truth to him and said, "Hey, this is an opportunity for you to change, Cain." In reality, Cain was very angry, without comfort, and sad because he couldn't have his cake and eat it too. I don't know about you, but I like to have my cake and have more left over. So you understand the saying. He couldn't have his cake and he couldn't eat it too. So Cain was angry and he was frustrated. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So Cain was brought to this point of decision in his life by God. And God's like, "Hey, look, you made the wrong sacrifice, but you can make it right. You can do it now. You can do something differently. You can change that sacrifice. And here's what you need to know, Cain. You will be comforted. I will welcome you. I will accept what you give me if you do it right. But if you don't, you're going to be owned by that wrong sacrifice for the rest of your life." Cain was sacrificing his entire future, his entire relationship with God. He was sacrificing all of that for a moment of, "You know what? I worked for this harvest. This is my harvest. This is my stuff. I don't understand why God is requiring this of me. I'm going to do it my way, and he's going to have to just put up with me." And God warned him. He said, "Hey, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you." Don't you know sin desires to have you? Amen. It wants to eat you. It wants to destroy you. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many of you are tired of sin? I'm with you. I don't want to do it anymore. And the body just, what is it? It wants to have you. It wants to eat us alive. It desires to have you. And look at what God said to him. You must rule over it. You must decide. I'm in charge of my life, and I'm going to do what is right for God. In other words, Cain, don't sacrifice your future anymore. Rule over the temptation. Don't have your cake today and trust. Make the sacrifice of today for a better tomorrow. That was God's invitation. Don't you know if Cain had repented and had changed and brought his stuff to God the way that God said, don't you know things would have been great for him? Would have been an awesome thing. So what did Cain do? He murdered his brother. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, hey, buddy, good to see you. Let's go out into the field and hang out for a bit. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. First murder. So what we're talking about today is a very serious thing. This is what led to the first murder. And Cain believed that his problem was his brother. Well, if my brother hadn't done so well, then I wouldn't have been exposed. If my brother wasn't around to give the perfect offering to God, the perfect sacrifice to God, then I wouldn't look so bad. So I'm going to kill my brother. That's a little crazy, isn't it? Have you noticed a lot of people are angry today? There's a lot of anger out there. They think everyone else is getting rewarded while they're being rejected for no good reason. They think everyone else has life figured out, or that everyone else is just randomly getting rewarded by God, randomly blessed by God. And if those people, those Christians, weren't so good and weren't so kind and weren't so loving, then, man, I would look better to God. Here's the reality. God is never going to reward a life that's not dedicated making the sacrifices that's required. Why? Because he loves you too much. The reality is, if you see someone blessed, if you see somebody that seems to be favored, they made a lot of sacrifices a long time ago, probably. The right kind of sacrifices. So we have to be aware of the Cain mentality. What is that? The Cain mentality is this. The Cain mentality is afraid to make a sacrifice. Well, if I give my bologna today, I'm not going to have bologna tomorrow. That's the Cain mentality. But the Abel mentality is, well, if I give my bologna today, maybe I'll get ham tomorrow. Some of you like bologna, I guess. The Cain mentality doesn't make a sacrifice to please God. They make a sacrifice to appease God. Listen to the difference there. The Cain mentality doesn't make a sacrifice to please God. They make a sacrifice to appease God. Oh, well, God requires $20 per cuss word. I'm going to pay him $20 for a cuss word. The Cain mentality appeases and sees God from a perspective of he's some hard taskmaster, labor-driven God that says, this is what you must do to make me happy. But understanding that Abel looked at God and saw someone in a relationship with him and said, God, I'm going to make a great sacrifice for you. I'm going to love you and I'm going to trust you that you have my future in mind. That if I give this much today, that God, you've got me in your hands. Even if I suffer for it at the moment, I'm willing to do that because I trust you for the future. That's a whole different mentality towards God. The Cain mentality sacrifices their future today. They sacrifice their future today. Cain was willing to throw away his entire future so that he could have what he wanted today. Now, later in the Bible, there's another story of two brothers. Y'all know Esau and Jacob? Twins. They were twin brothers, and the scripture says that Esau sacrificed his birthright as the firstborn son for a bowl of red beans. He sacrificed his birthright. Now understand, this guy was in line to receive a great blessing because his grandfather was Abraham, his father was Isaac, and God had said, look, I'm going to bless your lineage, I'm going to bless your family, and this guy was in line to receive that blessing as the firstborn son, but he sold that birthright to his brother who tricked him. It's an awesome story. If you need to go back and read it if you haven't. And Jacob tricked his brother into selling him his birthright for a bowl of stew, a bowl of red beans. He sold his entire inheritance for a bowl. He walked in from hunting one day. He's like, oh man, I'm famished. And Jacob's like, you smell what I'm cooking? I'll sell you this for your birthright. Oh, well, what good is my birthright anyway if I can't live past today? And he ate the stew and sold his brother his birthright. And Jacob received the blessing. And it's from Jacob's lineage that Christ came. Esau sold his entire future for a bowl of stew. We have to ask ourselves, am I sacrificing my future with my present? Or am I sacrificing my present for my future? Scripture warns us to not live like Esau. Look what it says. Watch out for the immoral and ungodly people like Esau, who sold his future blessing for only one meal. You know how he later wanted it back, but there was nothing he could do to change things, even though he begged his father and cried. Esau, this great hunter, this big man, went to his father and boo-hooed, please give me my birthright. Please give me my blessing. And he couldn't get it. He sold it. There's comfort when you invest in the future. There's comfort in knowing that no matter how difficult today is, that you've got your future taken care of, that you're blessed down the road. Jacob had to leave home. Listen, Jacob wasn't some hunter. He wasn't some outdoors guy. He probably didn't even know how to make a fire. He was a homebody. He was I guess he made fires for cooking, all right? But this guy was a mama's boy. He was well-groomed. He was taken care of. He was always at home. He was kept. And he finds himself walking through the wilderness in the desert alone. And he meets God. And he's on this survival journey. And as difficult as it was, there's comfort in knowing, all right, I've invested in my future. At least I have the blessing of God. I may not have everything today. And listen, knowing that he would never get to see his parents again, Jacob was willing to make a sacrifice today to have the blessing of God tomorrow. That's awesome. He was paying now to play later. We need to recognize that our current lives are about this. We're paying now to play later. This short, momentary life is about eternity. And what you sacrifice now for that, God notices and God blesses. If we trust God on earth, we get to live with Him for eternity. Do you believe that? Now listen, this is the attitude of the early church. The early church really understood that to live, and when you read the scriptures where Paul talks about living in Christ or being with Christ, what he's talking about is embracing the sufferings of Christ, embracing the difficult life of Christ on this earth in hopes for a better place. I want to read some of that to you this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we've been talking about that's the chapter where we hear that God is the God of all comfort. And after he says that, he says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. You ever heard someone say, God won't give you more than you can handle? That is not scripture. You understand? That is not scripture. It is not in the Bible. Look what Paul said. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. It was worse than you can imagine, is what he's saying. So that we despaired of life itself. That is at the end of your rope. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Oh my goodness. If God can raise the dead, then we can trust him with whatever we're going through, is what he's saying. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. Paul saw this life as an opportunity to make sacrifices for a great future. That was the perception of this life. Once he came to Christ and he began to understand, oh, the sufferings of Christ, I'm going to suffer for Christ. And in fact, when Jesus knocked him off his donkey and Paul got saved, Acts chapter 9, you can go and read it. It's an absolutely amazing story. He's like, who are you, Jesus? I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. And Jesus told him that day, get up and go to this place, and by the way, I'm going to show you how much you must suffer for my name. That was the call of God on the Apostle Paul. So understanding, we need to see our lives from the perspective of eternity, that every moment of our lives here is about living as a sacrifice for Jesus. Well, why do I have to go through so much trouble? Why do I have to go through so much pain? Because I belong to Jesus. And I'm setting myself up. I'm investing in my future. What did Jesus say? Store up for yourselves treasures. I don't know about you, but that excites me. At least we can understand why we face trouble. At least we can understand why we face pain. I can understand why Angela has cancer. And I can rejoice in it. We're storing up treasure in heaven. Every part of our lives on planet Earth is about getting there. It's about making a sacrifice for Christ. And it's in that context that Paul wrote these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Didn't say he keeps us out of all our troubles. It says he comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. For just as we are abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we're distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. What is he saying? He's saying we face troubles and we face difficulties so that other people can get saved. And other people can understand they get to go to heaven. It's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so you also share in our comfort. When you put your life in God's hands, your pain, your struggles have purpose. You get comfort, knowing that your life has become a sacrifice for something greater, something better, something that far outweighs what you're experiencing today. James David, would you come? Later in the same book that he introduced that I just read from, chapter 4, a few chapters later, Paul said this, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. What is he saying? He's saying my entire life, I perceive my entire life to be a sacrifice of Christ. And I'm comfortable with that. Even though I'm pressed on, I'm perplexed, I'm persecuted, I'm struck down. Even though all of that, I have comfort. So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. So that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So that Jesus is seen in you. Why are you facing trouble? So Jesus can be seen through you. Why are you facing difficulty? So Jesus can be seen in you. Why do you keep facing that same temptation over and over and over, and sometimes failing over and over and over? So Jesus can be seen in you. It doesn't give you permission to go do it again. It just means the grace of God is greater than all of your sin. Amen? So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, we inwardly are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles, our big problems, our light and momentary troubles compared to what we're going to have. He says, for us, they're achieving an eternal glory that far outweighs all of them. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Man. So the key to comfort in this life is to recognize that this life, your life, is about presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Paul wrote to Romans, the Roman church, he said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then he says, this is your true and proper worship. Another version says, this is your reasonable service. It's the least you can do. This is your true and proper worship of Christ. Offer your bodies, the rest of your life, everything in your life, as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice. A sacrifice that's living, but dead. Alive in Christ, but understanding I'm just his tool. I'm just used by him. So every trouble, every struggle, every hardship is an opportunity for you to worship that you are a sacrifice of praise. Your life here on earth, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You go where he wants you to go. You do what he wants you to do. You struggle with whatever he allows you to struggle with. And you say, God, I am a sacrifice for you. I give you my life. Some of the Apostle Paul's last written words were to a young pastor named Timothy. And he told Timothy, he said, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. What is he talking about? I lived as a sacrifice. I sacrificed my life. And now there's in store for me all of this. You see, the way early Christians viewed this life is that their hardships and their struggles were connected to Christ himself. And Paul said it was Christ being exalted in his body. He said, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, living life God's way is your sacrifice. Hopes for something better. Come on, let that comfort you. Some of you have gone through a lot in your life. We've talked about it over the last few weeks. But you've been through a lot in your life. And more you turn over your life to Christ, the more purpose, the more meaning your life has, the more meaning your pain has. And here's the promise. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the reward. That's God's kingdom. Living my life in search of what God likes and doing it. And living my life in search of what God doesn't like and saying, God, I'm not going to do that to the best of my ability. Ask him for help. Make yourself a sacrifice. So let me ask you this as we conclude today. What kind of sacrifices can we make with our health, so that we can live longer and healthier and stronger and do things for God's kingdom? What kind of sacrifices can we make? Cut out sugar. Yes, y'all are preaching at me now. Give up the tasty cakes, absolutely. I had some people buy me some for Christmas. They couldn't find the bells, so. Absolutely. We can stop eating certain things, stop drinking certain things. We can also get on the exercise, right? We didn't want to mention that, though, did we? We can do these things. Now listen, this is the thing. This is what's important. These are tangible things we can do. Sacrifice ourselves for a better future here on earth, but most importantly, in heaven. What about our finances? Come on, what kind of sacrifices can we make that will give us a better future? Being accountable. One of the things that you could use also is there's tools that you can have for your computer that shows, oh, this is, I spent that much on dog food? Really? They're looking fat. I need to cut back a little bit. Just a visual to help. There's computer programs to help you to do that. Very good, Francis. What else?
Being intentional.
being intentional with where it goes. Yeah. How do you invest? And are you just investing for this life? Or are you making sacrifices for that life to come? It's a good question, isn't it? What about relationships? Relationships. How can you invest in those? Being authentic. Very good. How can you invest in your relationships? Forgiving. Yeah. Endurance. Forgiving. You know what amazes me is how many times I can look back through the years that people left this loving church family because of something that they made up in their mind that never happened. Isn't that amazing? Long-term relationships are so important. Investing in long-term relationships. I had a couple one time that they were going to get married. I was honestly so excited for them. Sweet couple. I was excited for them. Missed them at church for a couple of weeks. I called. I said, "Hey, what's going on, man?" He said, "Why are you calling me?" I said, "Well, I'm just checking in on you. We've missed you a couple of weeks. You guys doing okay?" "Well, I understand you don't want us to get married." "What? What are you talking about?" Never would allow me to even understand why he believed that. All up in their minds. As we go into this next year, spiritual maturity, growth, doing the things that it takes for you to have a healthy future. Are you interested in that? Investing in long-term relationships. Investing in the people that God wants you to invest your life into. I don't know about you, but I don't want to let the enemy win. I want to have long-term friends. But boy, he wins when we just let something get up here in our brains and we won't let it go. What about our faith? How do you make sacrifices for your faith? Take steps of faith. Steps of faith. Where you're not sure where your foot's going to land. Anybody ever taken a step of faith? We're here today because 16 years ago, we took a step of faith. We made a huge sacrifice, well, by human terms. But Angela and I, we were talking on our way here this morning. We absolutely love this church family. And we're so grateful that we made the sacrifices early on to see you today and to believe in a better future, touching lives, reaching the lost. So the question is, are you sacrificing your future or are you sacrificing your present, knowing that God has your future in mind? What does that look like for you? Let's ask him. Would you bow your heads? What is God asking you to sacrifice today? Is there something that needs to change in your life? Something you need to stop doing? Or something that you need to start doing? For a better future, not just on planet Earth, but a better future in heaven as well. God says, there are certain things that I don't like, and the reason I don't like them is because they destroy your life. Are you going to stop? And he says, there are certain things that I love when you do these things. Why? Because they build you up and they build my kingdom up. Are you going to do those things? Are you going to commit yourself to those things? If you make your life a living sacrifice, God has promised great reward later on. How far? I don't know. How much later? I don't know. How big? I don't know. How great? I don't know. But we can trust it. And it just makes sense. God, thank you for the opportunity today to make a sacrifice of praise in our lives. Those moments of difficulty, to worship you through those times and to recognize that we're shining Christ to a world of darkness. And there are those that are here today that maybe as they look back on their life, they see the difficulties and they see the struggles and the pains. And like Cain, you can look at them and say, all right, if you'll turn that all over to me now, if you'll change the direction, instead of being angry and hurt or unforgiving about that, if you'll turn it over to me from this moment on, your life, your future will be in my hands. And so God, we turn our pains and our struggles and our difficulties over to you. And we say, these are the sacrifices of our lives for you. And we find comfort in that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.